Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Well, in a moment, we're going to hear from some more political candidates who are running for office and are on the ballot on November 3rd. WMNF is offering candidates free airtime, and that offer runs out tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., so candidates will have to record their messages by 9 a.m. tomorrow. You may have heard about this story that the Proud Boys allegedly threatened a University of Florida student in Gainesville, threatened her that if she didn't vote for Donald Trump, something bad would happen to her. So we're going to talk to that student later on in the program. Also be taking your phone calls, too, so stick around. This is 88.5 FM. Well, for the last few years, WMNF has offered free airtime for candidates on the theory that these are the public airwaves. Every radio station, every TV station that broadcasts operates on the public airwaves. And we should give some of that time back to candidates and not make them pay for time. So we are doing more free airtime for candidates this year. And today we're going to hear from several candidates. We're going to start with a candidate for the Pinellas County Commission. And I urge people, as we listen back to the candidates, to get out a pen and paper, jot down notes. And here is our first candidate today, a candidate for the Pinellas County Commission.
Good afternoon. My name's Renee Flowers, and I'm a candidate for the Pinellas County Commission District 7 seat. It will truly be my honor to continue serving as an elected official, supporting the expansion and development of affordable housing, certainly looking out for our environment, making sure that we have small minority and women-owned business opportunities so that we can truly embrace the American dream for everyone. And last but certainly not least, working with a county commission that works together to get things done throughout Pinellas County. Remember, on the board before November 3rd, you know Renee Flowers. Vote Renee Flowers as your next Pinellas County Commissioner, District 7.
Well, that was our first candidate message today. That was from Renee Flowers, who's running for Pinellas County Commission, District 7. Our next candidate is a candidate for the Brooksville City Council.
My name is Tom Dye, and I'm running for Brooksville City Council, Seat 3. I would like to take this opportunity to thank WMNF for the opportunity to speak to you. For 11 months, I have sought advice from community leaders, business leaders, and especially citizens. But before I tell you about myself, I would also like to address an issue that has been in the news a lot in the past several weeks. A sitting city council member called for a boycott of all Brooksville businesses that support the Brooksville Main Street program. This was posted in a since-deleted Facebook group. I want to state unequivocally that I do not support any boycott of local businesses just because they support Brooksville Main Street or any other program. Furthermore, I do not support boycotting businesses because of their political affiliations might be different than mine either. A city council member's job is to not only support all the citizens of Brooksville and businesses as well, but also people that didn't vote for you. I also believe that just saying, I love Brooksville or I want to make a difference is not an actual plan. That's why I have the issues that I propose up on my website, tomdye2020.com. Okay, something about me. I took early retirement this last January after a long career as an environmental health and safety manager.
Well, that was Tom Dye's message. He's running for Brooksville City Council, Seat 3. And you're listening to Free Airtime for Candidates right here on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And in a few minutes, we'll tell you how you, if you are a candidate, can get this free airtime. The deadline is tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. To record your message. Our next candidate is running for Congress in a district that includes parts of Hernando, Sumter, Citrus, Lake, and nearby counties. So let's listen to this candidate who's running for Congress.
Hi, my name is Dana Cottrell. I'm running for the U.S. House of Representatives for Congressional District 11. Which encompasses Hernando, Sumter, and Citrus counties, the southern portion of Marion County, and the northwest portion of Lake County. I've lived in Hernando County since 1988, and I am a proud graduate of USF with my undergraduate degree in education and my master's degree in library and information science. I've worked in Hernando County schools and for the Department of Defense dependent schools overseas in both South Korea and Germany. I'm running against Daniel Webster, a 42-year politician. I believe it is time for change. I believe it is time for the voice of the middle class to be heard in Washington, D.C. The top issues that I'm focusing on are education, employment, environment, and health care. Please visit my Facebook page at Dana Cottrell for Congress for more information on the videos tab with town hall chats and videos on these topics. You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram or Google search on YouTube for interviews and press releases on the campaign. You can also visit the webpage at dana2020.com for additional information. Thank you, and I hope to have your vote on November 3rd.
Well, that's Dana Cottrell, who's running for Congressional District 11, which includes parts of Hernando, Sumter, Citrus Lake, and Marion counties. And this is WMNF in Tampa. Let's listen to one more candidate who took us up on our offer of free airtime. This candidate is running for Congressional District 12, which includes parts of Pinellas, Pasco, and a sliver of Hillsborough County.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Walker. I am a candidate running for U.S. Congress District 12. I was born and raised in Orlando, Florida. I have deep roots here in the Sunshine State. My family has lived here for more than a century. I am a software engineer. I hold a Master's of Science degree in Information Technology from the Florida Institute of Technology. And I am a U.S. Army and Air Force veteran. I'm running on education, our environment, healthcare, and our veterans. For education, providing quality education is one of government's most important obligations to the people. But in order to provide quality education to our children, we need to pay our teachers a higher wage. By doing so, we'll solve the teacher shortage and attract and retain excellent educators. I have a plan to increase teacher salary on the federal level by creating a permanent federal teacher's tax credit. For our environment, I am running on promoting policies that invest in good jobs, clean energy, and modern infrastructure. Making these investments can solve the critical challenge and establish a 21st century economic model that protects the planet. Healthcare, I support Joe Biden's plan on fixing and expanding the ACA. Due to the pandemic, many Americans have lost their job. In turn, they've lost their health insurance. We can expand coverage to low-income Americans by offering premium-free access to states where they have refused to take up the Medicaid expansion, because no one should go without health insurance, especially during a pandemic. Military, their families, and veterans, I will fight to ensure changes to the military health system, sustain military medical readiness, and beneficiary access to top quality care. I want to prevent disproportionate TRICARE fee increase and stand down efforts to cut military medical bullets and efforts to dismantle the military healthcare system. For more information about my policies, please visit KimberlyForCongress.com. That's KimberlyForCongress.com.
Well, that was Kimberly Walker, who's running for Congressional District 12, which includes portions of Pinellas, Pasco County, and a sliver of Hillsborough County. You've been listening to free candidate messages here on WMNF in Tampa. And for one more day, WMNF will provide free airtime for political candidates. Candidates whose names appear on Florida's November 3rd ballot are invited to record campaign messages of up to 2 minutes on our comment line. And here it is. It's 813-238-8001, extension 115. This offer is open to every candidate, no matter their political party or no matter which office they're running for. Messages should be recorded by the candidates themselves. Please leave a contact phone number at the end in case we have any questions. The contact phone number will not be put on the air. WMNF's prime signal area includes Hillsborough, Pinellas, Sarasota, Pasco, Polk, and Manatee counties. We're hoping the candidates' messages will give our listeners some background about the person and the issues on which they're running. The message can include the campaign's website. Messages that go over 2 minutes will be edited to fit the two-minute limit. Again, WMNF is offering free airtime for candidates. Candidates may begin recording their campaign messages right now by calling 813-238-8001, extension 115. The candidates' messages will air again tomorrow morning at 11:06 a.m., and the deadline to record a message now is 9 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday, October 22nd. So You have until 9 a.m. tomorrow to record your message, and once that time has passed, we will no longer accept messages. We're doing this as a public service. If you know somebody that is a candidate, or if you yourself are a candidate and you want to take advantage of this, please do. We accept all parties and all offices for people who are on the November 3rd ballot. Messages received after 9 a.m. October 22nd will not receive airtime. So we're going to open up the phones in a second. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. You may have heard that the Proud Boys have been threatening voters in Gainesville, so we're going to talk about that shortly. But we're also going to talk about some other issues that are out there. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Early voting and mail-in voting has been heavy in the state. Florida's now topped the 3 million total votes. So that's a lot of vote-by-mail and early in-person voting. The numbers that we see, and I'm reading this from Steve Shale, who's a Democratic strategist, but I think the numbers are reliable. Vote by mail so far, yesterday there were 150,000 vote by mail ballots received. Democrats had a 12,000 person advantage there. Early voting, in person voting yesterday, 366,000 votes were cast yesterday. The Democrats had only a slight lead over Republicans there, 261. And the total Democratic lead so far in early voting and vote by mail is 482,000. But that is likely to change once we get to Election Day, when Republicans are really good about turning out. Right now, the percentage of all voters turning out is 21%. So far, 21% of Florida's about 14 million registered voters have voted so far. Democratic turnout so far is 27.3%. GOP turnout is 18.6%. And a no-party affiliation turnout is 15.6%. And I'm reading these from Steve Shale, who's a Democratic strategist, but I'm pretty sure those numbers are reliable. And if you want to comment about early voting, if you want to give us your experience about early voting, feel free to call us at 813-239-9663. And you can also use our email address, which is dj@wmnf.org. Well, there's a bunch of news going on, and we could talk about a lot of things. So let me mention a few stories that we might talk about. Yesterday, Tampa police officers fatally shot a black armed robbery suspect. Tampa Police Chief Brian Dugan said the two officers involved confronted 26-year-old Dominique Mulkey yesterday morning, minutes after he left a Dollar General store in East Tampa. Police say store employees had attempted to stop Mulkey from stuffing store items into a trash bag that he was holding, and then he pulled out a gun. Body camera video shows the officers drawing their weapons and ordering Mulkey to get on the ground and to drop his gun. They asked that several times. Video shows Mulkey turning instead toward the officers, who then opened fire. It's not clear if Mulkey fired his weapon at all, and the FDLE is investigating. So that's something that happened yesterday. One of the last undeveloped parcels of land in Pinellas County maybe on the way to being protected. Activists and local officials yesterday cleared the first major hurdle to buying and preserving 44 wooded acres in unincorporated Pinellas County near Dunedin. As the Tampa Bay Times reports, Pulte Homes, the developer under contract to buy the property, backed out of buying the property, according to Nathan Hightower, who's an attorney representing the estate of the late Gladys Douglas, who is selling the land. Now the challenge for local governments is to find funding by January, which is the deadline that the property owners are giving to the city of Dunedin and Pinellas County to make an offer before opening the door again to developers to get them to buy the property. Yesterday, the Dunedin City Commission dedicated $2 million toward purchasing the property and said that Pinellas County needs to step up and the state grant needs to materialize, and that will fill the gap. The housing company was under contract to buy the land for $14.5 million, but city manager Jennifer Brandley says she expects an offer to fall around $8 million based on a new appraisal that the city is going to obtain. And here is Councilmember Maureen Feeney yesterday talking about the decision to at least offer some money for this land.
I couldn't be more supportive of this motion. You know, obviously, as I've said before, I think there's been some work on this over the years. But, you know, we're at this critical moment now. It is the moment. And I think it's a moment that, you know, that's what leaders are born for. You know, we have to seize our moment. And this is a visionary moment. I'm very supportive of us putting skin in the game, you know, in our current economic situation. That's not easy. Now, this isn't tax money. It's penny money. But it's still something that we have to prioritize. But this is huge. And when I go back to something that John Lawrence taught me from the early days of me being a young professional, as history moves forward, people look back and they never look at a green space purchase. He's never seen anybody regret a green space purchase. They're always thankful. They always say, oh my gosh, thank goodness somebody had the foresight to preserve something important. And really, you only have to go to read some of the evaluation of the county staff to know how critically important the habitat and how critically important this piece of land really is. And then on top of it, to have access to a 55-acre lake, I mean, it's a 100-acre piece of Florida paradise. It's a big deal, and I'm hopeful, and certainly that our county comrades are going to help us with this. I obviously we work closely with them on this, and I know how much they value green space as well. So I say, onward we go. Let's make this happen.
That's Dunedin City Council Member Maureen Freeney yesterday talking about the county's offer to purchase some undeveloped land that could have been taken over by a housing development, but looks like at least right now the land might be on the way to being protected. It's at the northeast corner of Keene Road and Virginia Avenue in Dunedin. Dunedin is making a $2 million contribution. It's coming from Penny for Pinellas, the one-cent sales tax money that's been dedicated previously in Dunedin to building a parking garage next to the new city hall. That garage will now be a surface lot. And the city manager in Dunedin says the city will pursue a Florida Communities Trust grant that could provide up to 50% of the purchase price, leaving roughly $2 million for the county or other sources to pay. So they don't really have the $8 million yet. They hope to have it. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's take a call from Dave, who's calling from Tampa. Dave, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today? Hi, Dave. You're on the radio. What's on your mind?
Well, you guys are talking about Don Eden. I have a couple of things to say about our current president. Should I call back?
Well, no. As long as you're on, we'll put you on. What would you like to say?
I just have to say it's so important for everybody to get out there and vote. Did it yesterday. Didn't do it last time. Feel terrible about that. And I've seen several people around town today with flags and Trump 2020. I saw this guy with his old beat-up truck today that had handwritten on there, Trump 2020. And I just hope people realize that this man does not care about average working man. If he did, he would have done so much more up to now. And just like to get some feedback on that from anybody else who wants to talk about that. And I appreciate what you guys are doing. You're awesome.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. Thank you. Well, do you agree with Dave? Do you think the president doesn't care about the average working man? 813-239-9663. Tommy writes, this is there a website where people can donate to protect land in Pinellas County? Good question. I don't know if there's a fund to protect undeveloped land in Pinellas County. And maybe one of our listeners knows. And if you know, email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, looking to undermine his rival, Joe Biden, 2 weeks before the election, President Trump's campaign has seized on a tabloid story in the New York Post offering a twist to a familiar line of attack, Biden's relationship with Ukraine. But the story in the New York Post raises more questions than answers, including about the authenticity of an email at the center of the story. The origins of the story also trace back to Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani, who has repeatedly pushed unfounded claims about Biden and his son Hunter. Giuliani says he's obtained 3 computers by Hunter Biden that allegedly have information about business deals in Ukraine. In an interview yesterday, the Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden, denied claims by some Republican senators that Biden and his family had benefited when Hunter Biden was appointed to the board of a Ukrainian gas company.
The vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said there's no basis at all. This is the same garbage Rudy Giuliani, Trump's henchman. It's the last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family.
That's Joe Biden yesterday talking about the Hunter Biden stories that have been flooding on conservative radio and TV. Well, it turns out that President Trump holds three previously secret foreign bank accounts. Despite his criticism of China on the campaign trail, President Trump spent a decade unsuccessfully pursuing projects in China, operating an office there during his first term for president, and then forging a partnership with a major government-controlled company in China. That's according to a report out today in the New York Times. China is one of three foreign nations. The others are Britain and Ireland, where Trump maintains a formerly secret bank account. That's according to the Times analysis of the president's tax records. The foreign accounts do not show up on Trump's public financial disclosures, where he is supposed to list all of his personal assets, because the accounts are held under corporate names. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. In Jacksonville, a 19-year-old man who fatally shot a Jacksonville Sheriff's Office police dog 2 years ago is now facing up to 35 years in prison. During a hearing this week in Jacksonville, the defendant, Jamel Pascal, his attorney asked a judge for leniency in sentencing him next week. The perpetrator, Pascal, offered an apology, saying that he was standing before the court as a man ready to take responsibility for mistakes he made as a child. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Josh, who's in Tampa. Hey, Josh, you're on the radio. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. How's your day going?
Good. What's up?
Well, I heard you were talking about the Hunter Biden situation. You know, I was watching last week, Tonight with John Oliver, which is one of my favorite ways to kind of try to laugh about all the things that are going on. They were talking a little bit about the situation, and I was wondering if we could verify some of those facts that they were discussing, one of which they said the person who was looking into the computers for this for these alleged emails that were found, for one, was a computer technician who was visually impaired, and so they were kind of musing about how difficult it would be to fix a computer with visual impairment. The other thing they were talking about is that they found the emails on the computer, which Oliver compared to a plumber's trying to look for water problems in the underwear drawer. And so it doesn't seem like most email servers are going to be located right directly on the computer. And so...
Josh, explain that a little bit more. I mean, on my computer, I can find my emails.
Right.
So why wouldn't a computer repair person find the emails when they open it up?
Well, typically emails are stored on a server, which in the case of something like Gmail would be owned by Google, which would be remotely located, right? And so those servers, you know, you can access them if you have a login for the email, possibly. But if a computer person is looking into a hard drive or something, it's not necessarily going to have access to that online account, which is normally how people access their emails and stuff.
I see. So if you have an account through Yahoo or Outlook or Hotmail or whatever, it's not going to likely be on that computer.
It's possible that it won't. I mean, normally when people access their email, they access it through a remote server that's accessed through a username and a password. And so the idea that a computer technician somehow went and found emails that were sent to confirm some of these allegations seems a little specious to me.
Okay, and as for whether or not the computer repair person was blind or visually impaired, I've seen stories that say yes, he was. There's a lot of print stories that say he was. I don't know what the truth is. I feel like I should call him up and ask him.
Right. I know when I look at a computer, it's been a long time since I took apart a desktop computer because I've been using a laptop for so many years. But from what I remember, circuit boards are pretty intricate, and it would be difficult to kind of, get in there. And so, yeah, I don't know. I would think it raises a lot more questions, like you said, then it does confirm anything.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
All right. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. You may have heard about this story, and it broke overnight, and that is a University of Florida student received an email yesterday morning from info@officialproudboys.com saying that they would come after her if she didn't vote for Donald Trump for president. Let me read the email that this student got. We are in possession of all your information, email, address, telephone, everything. You are currently registered as a Democrat, and we know this because we have gained access into the entire voting structure, infrastructure. You will vote for Trump on Election Day, or we will come after you. Change your party affiliation to Republican to let us know you received our message and will comply. We will know which candidate you voted for. I would take this seriously if I were you. And the message is headed Proud Boys. So let's talk with the person who received that email. She's a student at Gainesville. She's asked not that her name not be used, and she's on the phone with us right now. And welcome to WMNF, University of Florida student.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. You sound fine.
Okay. Hi. I received this email. Very scary. I got it yesterday morning. The subject line was "Vote for Trump or else," which was pretty jarring because I actually woke up to that email. So that was like the first thing I saw in the morning, and I was just like confused and worried like immediately.
Did you feel threatened?
So I definitely like felt threatened while reading the email. I got to the end where it says, we'll know who you voted for. And I realized it was probably like, you know, a baseless threat because I realized that people can't really see who you vote for. You know, it's like a secret ballot. So I was kind of relieved actually at the end to see that it was probably just, you know, a spam email. But I guess, you know, I knew that, but there's probably a lot of people that receive this that might not know that and would still like feel threatened.
Do you know if other people received it?
Yeah, I actually, I called the voter intimidation hotline, or it's like an election protection hotline. And you can report voter intimidation there. And they said that, they were receiving actually like a lot of calls about this, particularly like from, someone who is claiming to be the Proud Boys. So I actually felt a little safer knowing it wasn't specifically targeted at me, but there's still like, I've been like following the news regarding this and it's still really unclear like who was targeted and why, because it wasn't like it was sent to like the whole county. So I am still kind of concerned as to why I got it particularly. You know, I don't know if like I did something that like would make them like cautious of me, which is really worrying.
So we're talking with a University of Florida student who yesterday received an email from the Proud Boys website saying that the Proud Boys would come after her if she did not vote for Donald Trump for president. And you're listening to a live interview on WMNF in Tampa. So do you have any reason to believe that this was the Proud Boys or was not the Proud Boys? What do you think about that?
So I'm honestly not sure. I saw like a report that said like it was coming from servers overseas. Like there was one in Estonia and Saudi Arabia, but it said that it could still have come from in the United States, just like that the servers were in there. And I'm not really a tech person, so I guess I don't really know how that would work. So I think there's a chance that it's not, but I'm still like not going to rule out any possibilities.
Yeah, you know, I saw a report last night that Trump voters in New Hampshire, in a small town in New Hampshire, had gotten threatening letters in the mail saying that they shouldn't vote for Trump. So I wonder if this isn't some sort of foreign operation to intimidate people altogether. Have you contacted the FBI about receiving this email?
So the election protection hotline, they said that they were going to forward what I got to the FBI. So I sent them a screenshot of the email and, like, my information. So they're going to send that to the FBI. and have that investigated, which I think is really important because no matter like who you're voting for, this is just like intimidation of Americans for trying to do like their civic duty of voting. Like this is a really big deal in my opinion.
Yeah. So, the Proud Boys, that was their official website, but I guess that you can hack into somebody else's website. But the Proud Boys are such a militant right-wing group, they may not want people to vote for anybody but President Trump this election.
Yeah, that's why it was concerning to me, because that seems like it could be a real email from them. I don't know too much about them. I know that like they are a hate group, so that's really not what I want to see in the morning. And I think it is possible that it was them. I don't want to speculate. I think that we should probably wait for the FBI report on it, but like I said, I don't want to rule out any possibilities. If they were a hate group and this is voter intimidation, overall, like, it's just scary, because no matter who's doing it, like, it's a very threatening, like, you know, it was so vaguely threatening and could have meant anything. You know, they just said they would come after me, you know, so I don't really know what to do with that.
Yeah, the message, and I'll read it for our audience: you will vote for Trump on Election Day or we will come after you. Change your party affiliation to Republican to let us know you received our message and will comply. We will know which candidate you voted for. I would take this seriously if I were you. We're talking with a University of Florida student who received that email yesterday morning from the address info@officialproudboys.com, saying that they would come after her if she did not vote for Donald Trump for president. And I think you're right. I mean, you can hack an email address, so I think you're right to be cautious about actually blaming the Proud Boys for this. So what's going to happen next?
I actually had a plan to vote tomorrow already before I received this email, and I'm still going to vote tomorrow. I'm not going to let anyone scare me out of voting for who I want to vote for, especially because I think that this is just like a baseless threat from someone, you know, who just like wants to like scare people for like political gain. And I'm not going to let that stop me. So I will be early voting tomorrow, and I hope that everyone else that got this email is also still confident in their vote and their safety.
You know, one last question. College towns, especially the college towns the size of Gainesville and Tallahassee, are really important for Democrats. That's where Democrats tend to pick up a lot of votes. What's your sense of your fellow students at the University of Florida? How fired up are they? And do you have adequate places to vote there in Gainesville?
So I've been a student here for 4 years. This is my senior year. And every time I voted, I went to the Rice Union, which is like the center of campus. They have an early voting location there that recently got instated like 3 years ago. And then I lived on campus before, so I could vote there. So it's actually a really nice location for anyone that's going to early vote. I would say to any U.S. students that are here to please go early vote at the Rice Union, because it is very convenient for us. It's a little less out of the way than like your Tuesday, like election day voting precinct, depending on where you live. I'll be voting there. And I would say we are pretty fired up. I know like it's been a little hard to gauge with online classes, but I could see like from everyone posting online that I know a lot of people who are going out to vote. All of my friends are going out to vote. Like all the U.S. people I know have been like posting like I voted stickers and like them at the Rights Union. So I think that even like this email was sent because they know that we're going out to vote, and they're like, they're getting desperate because they're trying to stop us because they know that we're going to like turn out the vote.
Well, Anonymous, thank you for coming on WMNF. I hope you stay safe, and I hope we get to the bottom of this and find out who actually sent the email.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Great to talk to you. Thank you. That's a University of Florida student who yesterday received an email from the official Proud Boys website saying that the Proud Boys would come after her if she didn't vote for Donald Trump for president. And there is now apparently an investigation by the Alachua County Supervisor of Elections, and the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security have been notified. The young woman asked that she not have her name identified because she's concerned about her safety. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. If you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Amadou writes, it is possible to have emails stored locally on a computer or a laptop if the person has an email client installed, such as Outlook or Thunderbird. So, Amadou, thank you for that. Good to hear from you. Peter writes this regarding emails on local machines. While most people use services like Yahoo and Gmail, which store email in the cloud, you definitely can download and store your email on your local machine. It's not common practice for average users anymore, writes Peter in Largo. And Peter, that's the way I read it. I think I read it the way you wrote it. So thank you. Ernie in Port Richey says, if you use Microsoft Outlook for your emails are stored on your computer and saved or deleted from the server, depending on your settings, writes Ernie. Everybody's writing in about whether or not Hunter Biden's emails would still be on that laptop if that laptop was his. And if this is not some sort of Russian scam, 813-239-9663. Let's take some phone calls from listeners and see where listeners want to take the conversation. Let's go to Chad in Lakeland. Chad, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's up, Rob? How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
I was going to call about the Hunter Biden email and the laptop fiasco, and I'm sort of sidetracked a little bit now by the Proud Boys email. I think what I'd say about both is like the amount of going into this election, the amount of craziness that we're all going to be faced with was going to be pretty significant. It's probably going to be, you know, historical. I wouldn't put it past, honestly, a far left group to send out emails under the guise of Proud Boys just to kind of give them a black eye. And the reason I say that, to kind of switch it to the other side, is you know, the Hunter Biden laptop thing, it just reeks of interference. It reeks of fraudulent behavior. And I was wondering, Rob, if you had ever, and some of the listeners, I'm sure they have, did you watch the show Homeland on Showtime?
I did not.
Oh my God. You should watch it. You know, it's Hollywood, and it's got kind of a left-leaning sort of agenda, I suspect. But whether you're right or left, you could watch that show and really get a good feel for how interference occurs and the division that's created through some of this online and social media type efforts. It's just astonishing. And after watching that show, it's almost like real time. We watched it here during the pandemic, and it's really given us a good idea of how this stuff operate.
Well, Chad, let me ask you this. I mean, let's say that somebody scammed and somehow was able to use info at officialproudboys.com as the website from which they sent this message. Wouldn't the FBI or people who are, you know, able to do this be able to find the true sender of the message?
I would hope so. And as the student from UF mentioned, you know, there may have been some foreign entities involved, but you know, honestly, at the end of the day, I equate that, and I know it's kind of scary for some people, but I equate that email with the same type of scam emails that come from the prince of so-and-so requesting you send them $1 million immediately. I mean, it's junk, and the fact that they're asking people to change their voter, you know, to Republican, I don't even think you can do that at this point in the cycle. And, you know, I think everybody just needs to go out and vote.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. You know, the one thing that I think, though, is, you know, here you've got a woman who's probably in her early 20s and probably pretty computer savvy and probably has a nose for BS. So she knew it was BS right away, right? But what if you're a senior citizen and you get this and you're not computer savvy and you haven't watched Homeland and you know, you're more susceptible to fraud. I mean, I think that's what all those emails about African princes go to, and why they're successful. They're successful because they go after people who maybe are not that computer literate, and people do, you know, get scared or think they can get rich quick. So what do you think about that? I mean, it's okay for 20-something to get one because she can blow it off. But if you're 75 years old and you get one, you might handle it differently.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I completely am not down with the Proud Boys. Like, I think they're trash. I'm with that. But
yeah, and I don't think it's – my guess is it's not the Proud Boys. That's my guess. It's somebody using their email address.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though I'm not, you know, everybody knows I'm not a fan of the Proud Boys because I think they're very far right. But in this case, we got to call it as we see it.
Sure. But I think really what I was calling about was the Hunter Biden laptop. And who would be dumb enough to even drop that thing off at some repair shop in Dell? I mean, you'd have to be a complete moron. And I'm not even a fan of Hunter Biden. I don't think he ever should have taken that seat at Burisma. It just reeks of, you know, it's just not good. And I think that was a big misstep on their part. But at the end of the day, why would he leave that laptop there? And I think it just, like I said, I was really calling about the show Homeland. I'm not sure who's watched that and who hasn't, but holy cow, man, it's and I've read and I've heard that the creators of that show each season would go to D.C. and consult with think tanks and some of the some of the various agencies and representatives to kind of get a feel for what's really going on in the world. And it's just amazing.
All right. Well, I'll have to watch it. Chad, thanks a lot.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks.
Rob.
All right. Good information there. Thank you for calling 813-239-9663. Let's go to Kevin. By the way, we've got all men on the line. If you're a female, if you call right now, 813-239-9663, we'll put you on there right away. Let's go to Kevin in Bradenton. Kevin, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I wanted to call about the Hunter Biden thing. I'm not positive, you know, what's going on. Obviously, I don't know that anybody knows, but I did find it interesting. It seems like there might be a double standard on Fox. They were mentioning that Biden has no proof. They were saying there's no proof that this Hunter Biden emails is part of a Russian misinformation network. And, well, okay, let's say that maybe there isn't no proof of that. But what I was wondering while I heard that, and by the way, obviously I don't watch that. I was just channel surfing. I was thinking, okay, so where's the proof that this is the smoking gun that they say it is? I think that this is all, I mean, it just seems like it's, you know, a late in the game to bring up something that's supposedly so revealing that, you know, Fox News and all of the right-wing stations have been beating this drum about it ever since that it came up. And I'm asking, will somebody please clarify what is the big deal? Why is this?
Well Kevin, the big deal is that that Joe Biden would have had a meeting with the head of this Ukraine energy company. But I think Chad's point a few minutes ago, who would be dumb enough to travel 3,000 miles across the country to drop off laptops for repair at a store where you're not going to pick up the laptop, you're going to leave it there, and it has incriminating evidence about your dad on it, would that be the actions of a smart person? Or, you know, would anybody who was smart do that? Or would you just toss the laptop, you know?
I know. I mean, I've had friends that smash them with hammers, you know, because they're afraid that somebody's going to get information. But my point about the way that they're painting this over there on Fox, it's almost like they're forgetting the fact that there's nothing. There is no smoking gun or whatever. You know, they're just bypassing that and going right to the fact that Biden has to prove somehow that this is a Russian misinformation. I mean, that's like that girl, that, you know, the point about the girl getting that email. We don't know where that came from. But in my opinion, it's still terrible that they're sending out something like that. You know, you don't have to know where it came from, but you do know. Well,
yeah, and at the same time, you know, we're not jumping to conclusions to say it was the Proud Boys. So, Kevin,
right.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, Kevin,
yeah,
thanks.
No problem, man.
All right, great to hear from you. 813 239-9663. David writes this: the Proud Boys are a bunch of bullies and fools, and I hope the people who sent this email to the young woman are prosecuted to the fullest extent. I really like how some gay men were able to take over the Proud Boys hashtag recently, and they need to keep it going. Yeah. Again, I say again that we don't know that this was from the Proud Boys. I think it's, you know, some sort of foreign actor trying to stir us up. We're already on edge as a country, and I think foreign actors are trying to stir us up even more. Let's go to Liz in Spring Hill. Finally, a woman. Liz, thanks for calling. Thanks for rescuing us. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. This is just another example of voter intimidation that we are experiencing from Republicans. I am an elected precinct captain of the Hernando County Democratic Party, and I field all the calls coming into our office. And as a matter of fact, our chairman and vice chair have a meeting with our sheriff because we have gotten so many calls of voter intimidation from Trumpsters with flags, whispering in ears of Democratic sign waivers. We're the ones with the guns. And
wait a minute, you're saying that your people have been out on the streets waving flags and Trumpsters come up to them and issue threatening words in their ears?
Yes. And they have a meeting with our sheriff because we don't feel that, we feel that it's overlooked. And I'll tell you another thing, Rob, that just went out a mass mailing to Democratic voters. We have a young 20-year-old man named Isaiah Hayden running for our County Commission District 1, and he organized the Black Lives Matter up, as you guys are familiar, you covered this, up in Brooksville. Well, a mailer, which I have a copy of, and I'd be happy to send it to you, targets this man as a Bernie socialist and that he just wants anarchy in the streets. And, you know, he's, you know, that there's, you know, all of this stuff about him being a horrible socialist and everything. And it was mailed out specifically to Dems. Now, we trace the PAC money, and it is a PAC out of Tallahassee that is somebody made a $300,000 donation to, and it's also been funded by like five other PACs. And we think we know the official, the state, Florida state official, that we have pretty much figured out who it is. I'm not going to say it on the air, but this is going on here, and this is going on under the eyes of public officials.
So, Liz, in the past, I've done shows with an investigative researcher in Sarasota who talks about the influence of dark money. And she says there are all these PACs that are funded by dark money that's untraceable, that send out mailers that are pretty tough. Do you think this was one of those dark money mailers?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Liz, yeah, I'd like to see a copy of that.
Okay, I'll send it your way in an email.
All right, that'd be great. Thanks, Liz.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. For those of you that live in Sarasota, you're probably aware of this already, but last night at the school board meeting in Sarasota, there was quite a number of comments made about diversity in the curriculum, trying to add more African-American history to the curriculum. That's one of the things that the school board is working on, and also to continue wearing masks in schools at Sarasota. And I was watching some of the school board meeting, and people were calling up or people stepping up to the microphone and calling Black Lives Matter groups terrorists. And I think that's a pretty common thing among a small group of people in Sarasota who are opposed to masks and opposed to an expanded curriculum in Sarasota. And you can see the Sarasota School Board meeting on your own. You can they posted the entire four-hour meeting. If you go to about a minute or an hour 30 into it, the comments are very interesting. Let's go back to the phones, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Kurt in Lakeland. Kurt, what would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I'll be real short. The caller before talked about Homeland, and the bigger point would be that Alex Gibney is the director of Homeland, but that stems out of Homeland is he's made a couple of very important documentaries just lately. So if anyone's listening, I just write down the name Alex Gibney. And it really is enlightening, some of the documentaries he's made in the last few months.
Yeah, he's one of the best. All right, thanks. Thanks, Kurt. Yeah, Gibney made the documentary a few years ago about the Church of Scientology. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Ralph, who's driving on the expressway. Ralph, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Well, first of all, Hunter Biden is a drug addict. And who knows what he would do, because he's been in trouble all his life. So there's a possibility that there's some truth to what's going on. And I believe they have other information in regard to that. Now, for 4 years, the Democratic Party has tried to go after Trump to no avail. So who is really divisive? They want you to believe that Trump is divisive when all the Democratic Party has been divisive. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Ralph, thanks a lot. You know, just in the last few weeks, President Trump, you know, speaking of divisive, has called on his attorney general to arrest Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden. Now, there's been no investigation that's shown that any three of those, or any of those three, have committed a crime. Yet, when President Trump goes to rallies like he did in the last few weeks and calls out their names and the people in the crowd say, lock him up or lock her up, what is he calling for? That's not the rule of law. The rule of law says you have an investigation, somebody's charged with a crime, then you have a trial, or you maybe have another investigation. But you don't lock somebody up just because President Trump doesn't like it. So when you talk about divisive, I think the divisiveness starts at the top. And whether or not Hunter Biden's a drug addict or not, or whether he's cleaned up, I hope everybody's cleaned up. I know a lot of people that are now in church who are cleaned up alcoholics and cleaned up heroin addicts. But we don't hold that against them when they show up at church. So let's, just because somebody has a drug problem, and I think Hunter Biden did have a drug problem, I don't know that he's got one now. If you've got proof, let us know. But he's not running for president. Joe Biden's running for president. And I don't think anybody is suggesting that Joe Biden has gotten rich in the last 40 years that he's been in public service. Now, there may be an investigation. We'll find out that he's sitting on billions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars, but I haven't seen that yet. So let's go to Tracy in St. Pete. Hey, Tracy, you're on MNF. What's up?
Hi, I just wanted to say I don't use computers. I don't email. I don't shop online. I don't use any social media. I have my old flip phone. And you know what? Every time I hear stuff, I am so glad that I don't have to be on any of that, because I just do cleaning for a living, and most people I've been cleaning for is 20, 30, damn near 40 years. So I'm just so grateful I don't have to use a computer. I go to the store. If the store doesn't have what I want, I decide I evidently didn't need it. So, you know, I won't do anything online because of all this nonsense crap that's on there. And I'm happier for it.
Okay, Tracy, thanks a lot. I think you're one of the few that doesn't, but I understand. All right, glad you're happy. Stephen writes this, how likely is it that someone like Hunter Biden just took his computers to a repair shop and just forgot about the computers? That sounds unlikely simply because of who he is, writes Stephen. And Martin says this, I had to laugh when you insulted my entire generation. Most of us, and I'm 72 years old, most of us don't fall for scams so easily. I learned about computers 40 years ago. There are a lot of younger people who fall for internet scams. Also, just saying, that's Martin in Palm Harbor. Martin, thanks for correcting me. I shouldn't have been ageist about it. Thank you for that. Deb's in Lutz, and she says, Rudy Giuliani, Trump's personal attorney, is who released this information to the New York Post, a tabloid that's owned by the same company that owns Fox News. That should tell you all you need to know about this non-story, writes Deb in Lutz. So, Deb, thank you for that. And getting a lot of emails on this. John writes this, most of us have either voted or made up our minds. The mail goes where it belongs, in the trash, writes John. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up, 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, right after we hear from the final batch of candidates tomorrow. Stay tuned. NOLA's taking the day off, and instead we're going to hear the Tom Hartman National Radio Program. And thanks to Jessica Green, our phone producer today. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland.
Live.